Well, my name is Charles Hart. I'm with the Arts Council. And, I mean, I just disagree with John. It's not a matter of being defensive. I just disagree with him. I think that we are at least making an effort to do more than we did before. And we have in the past, we have over the past few years tried to put a lot more money and time and effort, especially into theatre for children as opposed to theatre for adolescents. We've concentrated on that area. We think it's a very particular area that needs a lot of help. We would like to see more younger people, directors and writers and designers and everyone else, attracted to the area. And we're going to continue our effort in the areas, especially with the younger age group. But also, the report on that Arts Council England Eastern Region came up with, of course, is part of the Arts Council. Arts Council England. I mean, it's one organization, and we will carry this through throughout the country. I mean, personally, I think theatre for children and adolescents, but theatre for children particularly right now is very, very important, and we are trying to put more resources into it.
Thank you. Can I come back on that?
Please do.
Oh yeah. Yes, I recognise that there is more, but. I think the position of within the Arts Council is actually parallel to the situation in the country. What I'm saying is that it would be really seeing the impact that has been made by the Arts Council in terms of disability and diversity. It's very impressive. It would be very interesting to see if looking at work for young people, for children and adolescents, was discussed and a similar level of energy was put into work for young people. And what I'm thinking there is it's not just about groups who do work for young people, like what us three might represent, but that every theatre group and every dance company and every opera company in the country, this is separate to any educational work they might do, actually put into their artistic policy new work for young people. I think that would be at a much greater level than you're speaking of. And that's what I'm looking for.
Well, I think what's happening, what I feel is happening at Polka is that those perceived adult companies, regional companies, are all phoning us up and saying, what are you doing? We want to work with you. And that there is this kind of shift in attitude about children's theatre. I mean, it's quite overwhelming, really. Northern Stage, Leicester Haymarket, York Theatre Royal. I mean, York Theatre Royal have a young people's theatre company based in their building now. I mean, I think that's a fantastic model. It'd be great if more models like that could happen. But I do feel that there's a shift, you know, Toby and Idiot Theatre Company. I mean, these are just some of the companies we're co-producing with, and they're companies that have done adult work, and now they're saying, oh, hold on, this looks really exciting, we want to get in on this as well, you know,
yeah,
which
agree.
Is great.
I think there is a tide. I think it is moving in a very organic way amongst people. I think that's true.
Yes, I'd agree with that. I mean, there are far more people wanting to do this sort of work than there were, let's face it, 25 years ago. Mm. And let's hope that there's enough work for them to do. And I think, I mean, Charles runs a department which was not really there before. I mean, there was nobody really in charge of that sort of thing. Mm. And I think we're very lucky that Charles is there because he does take it very seriously. But it's partly to do with training, I think, too. You see, what do we tell these young people coming up as actors, directors? Do we actually say anything to them about children's theatre? I mean, there are one or two courses around, and I know that there are more things going on than there were. But there's still this sort of thing, it's tagged on at the end, and, well, you know, for a first job, it might be an idea to get a job in children's theatre. You know, you might get your equity card. That was what they used to say. They don't say that anymore. But, I mean, how dare they say that again? Because, again, it's the most difficult job they might have to do. Very rarely, I don't know about you, I mean, I get asked to go and do mock auditions at Bristol Old Vic Theatre School, where I go and pretend that I'm casting a children's play, and some of them get terrible fright. Because I'm asking them to do things that they might not normally, you know, I don't ask them to do their Shakespeare monologue or whatever. I ask them to be a giant or something silly. But that is one of the only ones that seems to be interested in their students working on something for children while they are training.
We're
at the moment trying to build a project that will be called Young Angels, and the idea of it is to create a scheme for young theatre makers under 30 years of age, in which they would all be funded to create a new piece of work for children. It could be for children, it could be for adolescents, and this, we've had Hampstead Theatre already wishing to come on board with us, and we are talking to other, we hope, future partners on this to give the highest possible profile to young theatre makers doing new and interesting things for young audiences.
Mm, that's good.
Question from anyone?
I get more letters and CVs from students from Bristol Old Vic than any other school in the country.
Oh, that's
probably why, because you go and do those mock auditions.
It's all my fault.
They're good too, actually.
Oh,
and they do a school's tour. Awesome. All the students on the 3-year course do a school's tour. It's great.
Yeah, my name's Abby, and I'm from Rosebruford College doing my master's. Mm. I'm particularly interested in pursuing a career in children's theatre when I finish in September. I just wondered if you could recommend any tips on ways to approach children's theatre. Like, I mean, I'm specialising in acting, but I'm also interested in the devising side as well.
We raised money through the Esmere Fairbairn Foundation for two young directors, and what was interesting is that there were two posts and there were, I think, 150 applications.
180.
And I mean, there was a lot of very good people in there, again, indicating a higher, an unslaked level of interest there. As far as, I mean, I think that all artistic directors are susceptible to a letter of great interest in what they're doing, especially if the student has been along to see a show and turned up with something like this and can actually talk about the work. I think that it makes doors open, because actually, and that's true in reps as well, if anyone's doing their job in a theatre, they are going to listen to that kind of thoughtful and interested letter. They're certainly going to meet you and then suggest you meet someone else. So I think it's a good sector, because I think that people really do have an interest beyond themselves in what they're doing in that field, and I think that they will be responsive to interest, particularly from young theatre maker. I mean, that's what I think.
I think that's right. You've got to write your letters, you know, write lots and lots of letters. That's undoubtedly true. Looking back, nearly every production when I've directed something, I have actually used, say, at least one person from receiving a letter from somebody, rather than being sent by an agent, or rather than, you know, in auditions and people getting it, but an actual letter. And it is something to do with the fact that they, you know, we're flattered, aren't we, a bit when people write to us and say, we like your work. But you don't even have to say you like the work, but you say you're interested. And the only other advice I would give you, children's theatre has traditionally, not so much now maybe, and sadly it's been a problem. It's been very much a sort of pioneering world. Most of us who came in the 60s ended up having to be do-it-yourself jack of all trades, right? You might say, why is it that Vicky Ireland not only was a director at Polka but wrote plays as well? Why does Annie Wood write plays as well as direct them? Why did I direct my own plays as well as produce in my company, and I often used to write the music? One of the reasons for this is that we couldn't afford to pay anybody else to do it. And the other thing was, I became a producer solely because nobody else would produce my plays. So you have to become a sort of pushy pioneer. The sad thing about this is that certainly in the 60s, 70s and 80s was that the Arts Council didn't like pushy pioneers, They didn't like clever people who were trying to say, I can do a bit of everything. And so there was a resistance to supporting us as sort of individuals who hadn't got people around them because they hadn't got the money to get these people there. I could go on for hours about that. I think it's better now. I think the situation is better. But I would say to you, get some friends together, students, put on something at the Edinburgh Festival yourselves, raise a bit of money, do something, be seen, and then at least you've got something on your CV, you've done something, you know?
I mean, just for the record, it's just interesting historically, at the very time that you were doing that, you were painting the set and writing music and writing the play and directing it and everything, in Holland and in Belgium, they decided, really post-68, that they really, that young people really should, that the performing arts were very important. They built theatres and they poured an enormous amount of money into it. Yeah. And so there's a whole group of writers now in their mid-50s, writers and directors, and a lot of them, I must say, are still going very strong too in that scene, and a lot of young people coming up. So the two, where Holland and Belgium went, where we went, at that point in cultural history, in completely different directions. Yeah. But there in Holland now, and I do find this sort of quite interesting, they really have been so nurtured and so watered and so looked after, with so many workshops and retreats now, that they've almost run out of anything to write about except being on a retreat. They are now looking, of course, often they're coming over and looking at what's going on in England and some of the work that's coming. So some of our work's now beginning to cross over to there and is beginning to be performed there. And they look with interest at what's going on in the more in the rough and tumble of our more free market system. So, you know, I don't believe it's everything, you know, it's just interesting to look, and if anyone is really interested, it's so worth a trip across the water just to see how it happens there.
But you're arguing for tough times being good for you, really.
Well, I mean, you know, I love the place I live in, you know. I mean,
can I just say to Abby, I think there's something about being inquisitive at the right time as well, you know, because in any year an assistant director is like immensely busy at certain times and just can't deal with anything but the play that they're in, but so be persistent, I guess, and you know, and do go and see the work, and then there's a reference point. I mean, recently a girl who I met at the theatre, she'd been seeing a show with her young children, she said, I really want to get involved in children's theatre, can I talk to you? I said, yeah, let's talk. And then she came on, we had a week's development workshops on two new plays. I said, well, why don't you just come along to that? So she's involved in the development, you know, of the plays, just as a way back in. So Polka are always developing new plays, always looking for actors, devisers to come and get involved. 4th of March is the date in your diary, so you come along and help with that one. I was talking about it with Roman, my associate, today about, you know, it'd be good to work with students as well as professional actors, you know, in the development of new work.
You're glad you came.
So there you go. So it is about the right, being around at the right time in the theatre. And I'd really say get to the theatre and get to know the theatre so there is a shared understanding and conversation there.
I think there's somebody else wanting to.
Thank you.
That's good, yes.
Howard Loxton, Society of Theatre Research. John began by saying how excited he was at seeing theatre in European gyms and school halls. I just wondered what the differences were, both in getting bookings and on the experience, between taking a show into a school and taking the kids out of the school into a theatre.
Yeah, it's a very interesting, this one. I mean, the theatre company that influenced me most of all in Holland, Vederzijde, actually only play in schools. But they're the only one who, they only do that. And they go into gyms and they do all sorts of different ways. Sometimes they build their own theatre and so on. And they actually have theatre actors who've worked with them a long time. Even get real first night nerves, you know, in one of those gyms at 12 o'clock, 12 noon when they open. They are a complete theatre life form who just works in the day in those gyms, and it seems to work. But it's also true that I always feel this when I was working at Polka doing that, the Young Europe project. I like children's theatres because you go in there about 9:30. Have a cup of coffee before work. It's absolutely packed with human beings. It's absolutely full up, the show starts at 10 o'clock, and it's very curious when you come down sometimes at 6 o'clock, and it's closing down at that time of the day. I think both are vital, and I think my best story about people going around schools in a really exciting way was that Ad de Bont actually wrote a play called Murad, Boy from Bosnia, a wonderful two-hander that many people would have heard of, that he wrote in the middle of the Bosnian War. No one wrote about it in the middle. No one could understand it enough. He wrote this play, and it very quickly got translated into other European languages. And Suzanne Austen, probably the most famous of all directors in children and young people's theatre in Europe, runs Unga Klara in Stockholm, got hold of it and thought, this is such an important play, everyone has to see it. And she had about 18 in her repertory company. So she took 9 women and 9 men, and she rehearsed all 18 of them at the same time in this two-hander play, and then created a schedule where they went out to every school within 100 miles of Stockholm over a 3-week period. But on Tuesday, you didn't know who you're going to play it with. So you'd always turn up and play with the opposite number with a new person every single time. So in this way, quite fast, in about a month, every single child in that wider Stockholm area had seen Murad, Boy from Bosnia. You know, so that's really a great thing to me about going out to schools and being ready to make theatre out there. So they both matter, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a completely different experience, isn't it? You know, I worked at TAG Theatre Company early on, and you know, we took shows into schools all the time. I mean, it was a nightmare, 6 o'clock calls in the morning to get through to Edinburgh, and you know, it was really tough, especially when you were like, you know, in your early 20s, and maybe not even getting home at that time. Anyway, that was my case. Anyway, I can't speak for the other directors, but you know, I've seen, you know, gym halls, you know, with dinner ladies, you know, opening the shutters behind it, transformed with a moment of magic in theatre, you know, and that is so vital and so valid, you know, and I think the children who go into those halls and experience something different, something great, it's absolute magic. But it's the same coming to a theatre, you know, the whole excitement of going to a completely new environment, particularly if it's a children's theatre, you know, it's just for them, you know. I think they're both really equal, and I've had a great time doing both.
A lot of people always think that I knocked theatre and education. I used to get criticised. I'm going back now a long, long time, and it just wasn't true. My first professional job was in TIE, at the very first year of the Watford Theatre and Education Company, and we did the Tay Bridge disaster, as a lot of people did then, which was all about collective responsibility, who made the bridge fall down. And we had a very good cast, Bill Bryden, who director later with the National, he was in the cast. And we went round schools, and I had a wonderful time, and we talked, we had discussions, and I loved it. But there was always this feeling that I wanted them to come to me as well as me go to them. I always felt, well, we're in this hall, we're not able to do anything with lighting. We had a bit of sound, I remember, which was good. We were in the round. We used to get spat at in the secondary schools, I remember, as you came on through the one edge. For me, I just wanted them to have the chance of, if you like, the magic. Now, that was a very dirty word in the late 60s and 70s, the magic of theatre. A lot of people were saying, well, you know, there's nothing to do with magic at all. Far better for them to see something in the school. I couldn't accept that. I wanted to be in charge of all the tricks and to show them the tricks of what theatre could do. And I suppose it's
the slightly...
Probably the conundrum, or maybe the sentimental thing. I mean, you know, the thing of looking back and to when I was, 4, 5, 6, and the orchestra starting and the lights going down and the curtain going up and all those things which people reminisce about, but are actually rather potent. But nevertheless, I firmly believe that work in schools is incredibly valid, and I do it myself now. I mean, I work as a storyteller in schools a lot, and I absolutely love it.
They're not mutually exclusive. Anyway, and one isn't necessarily better than the other. You would like people to have both.
Yeah. And I guess for teachers in some schools, it's easier to have companies, you know, coming into your school. It's less expensive, probably, as well.
And it is rather nice to see children coming into their usual environment and looking around wide-eyed because it's become
it's
somewhere
something
else.
Yeah, I think what kills it is if afterwards you have to then be subject to like a whole tirade of questions about, you know, what you saw in the play and like how much did you really understand it and what was going on. I mean, if we went to see it as adults, we went to see a show and then had to sit down and answer questions on it, it does kill it. And I know my son went to see he was going to see a show in our local theatre, not Polka. He went, "Oh no!" I said, "What's wrong?" And he said, "I don't want to go back there. We had to write about it the next day and I had to answer all these questions." And I thought, "Oh gosh, no, they just can't go and enjoy it, but you know, for like one day in their whole lifetime of education, can't they just be allowed to just take a piece of theatre and just let it breathe instead of having to write an essay on it?"
Think,
you know,
I think there was a view, you know, that at one point that theatres, and I mean grown-up theatres, were rather dead places. That they were shut through the day and they were open for this 2.5 hours where people could go and get their bourgeois entertainment in the evening and then they shut again. Mm. And then there was a feeling that actually the school is a very living place, you know, all day long, impoundingly living, pulsating place. And that, you know, as you say, this capacity, I mean, I actually don't find it very magic if the dinner ladies are all at work at the same time. But assuming the school actually welcomes you and creates some kind of a space for you to be able to perform in, I mean, it is exciting to do. And I, whenever you arrive, I always think, why the hell have I done this? I wish I wasn't here. You know, if I could do that thing from Bedazzle, that film, sort of blow and disappear, I would. And yet, when you do it and you get in there, it's often very exciting, very satisfying.
Oh, I love it. I love it. And you go in, I do a half hour, 40-minute storytelling based on My Gingerbread Man, which has a bit of magic in it and a bit of music. They sing a song. And I do it for the whole school, the primary school, you see, apart from sometimes the top class, they don't come in, and sometimes the infants, the tiny ones, don't. And it's that thing, you go in, your own boss, you know, I arrive at 8 o'clock in the morning, and you look round the hall, and you try to find your space. Now, where am I going to go? And you look for where there's a plug, a socket, because that's quite important. Sometimes I go in a corner, sometimes there's a bit of artwork up there, and you think, oh, that'd be quite good. Sometimes there's a terrible mess on a wall, and you think, well, no, I don't. And then you suddenly see a couple of lights up there, and oh, marvellous, could we see, and the caretaker is brought out, who says, oh no, it means getting up the ladder, I don't think, we only have that for the nativity play, and we don't have that anymore, but there's something very exciting about working in a school. I totally agree with that, it's lovely, and but theatres...
And it's not necessarily educational when you go in a school, is it?
No.
And that's what...
No.
Don't you think that maybe rather than saying it's the critics who aren't raising the level of debate, it may be that you can look at some of the commercial producers for, you know, lack of risk-taking, or even some of the national institutions, like the National Theatre, for example, which only has productions on every Christmas, I think, for children, really. And that strikes me as one of the reasons why there isn't very much coverage in national papers of children's work, because it's in what we'd probably call fringe...
Yes, there is a big argument there. I mean, the fact that the National Theatre of Great Britain has 3 auditoria suggests to me that at any one time of the year there should be at least one children's play going on in one of those 3 auditoria. So that if someone was coming from abroad, they could, on any day, there would be a children's play going on there. It seems to me either scandalous that that doesn't happen, or that there should be a National Children's Theatre, which is the equivalent, and therefore I would agree with you on that.
The counter-argument that they would put, I think, is that recently the National repertoire has actually been extremely interesting for a young audience, and I don't see why any group of teenagers wouldn't go into, say, A Minute Too Late and probably have a great time. So, you know, I think in some ways, and with the Travelex £10 season, I think that's also been a real encouragement. So the age level has actually dropped.
Yes, but not far enough, John.
No, I mean, I agree about there not being enough young people.
Teenagers,
work.
Fine.
I remember when Richard Eyre took over, he planned to have a play suitable for children.
Yes, he said
frequently,
that. He said that in his
once a month, I think.
Yeah.
But he eventually had to give up on the idea because they just couldn't afford to sell seats at the price you had to sell them in order to get children in. That was the argument. The economic argument is always important, though, isn't it? That you can't sell seats at £20 even.
Well, in the West End, it is very unusual to get a children's play because of that, obviously.
Although people will pay £60 to see Mary Poppins, presumably.
Yes, well, there is this extraordinary culture we have. Disney can do it, with Lion King or whatever, and for some reason people are very willing to fork out 40 or 50 quid for their children as well. There are no reductions at all for those shows. Family shows, but that's family theatre, and I think that's a different area. And in fact, I would say that The Witches was family theatre, and I have to say, I mean, you know, it's not really children's theatre. Mm. But the huge problems in seat prices for that, I mean, they've got a child's price of £15 or something.
Does anyone else want to take up Dominic's point about producers not taking enough risks?
Commercially, I can understand it because of the financial side, but then you start talking about theatre owners as well. You start talking about the rentals that people charge. There are all sorts of arguments there.
Should there be a place then in central London where, you know, 7 days a week you can see children's theatre, not just family shows like Maple?
Well, there should be somewhere in every town.
Well, there is
every
going
city.
There is about to be one, of course. Just first of all, I mean, there is first, of course there should be, and it's very striking that there hasn't been before. I mean, the unicorn, of course, was in the Arts Theatre and left that, and Polka is, I think it's fair to say, more outer London than central London. But, of course, the Unicorn Theatre is to open, I believe, early next year?
I think by this year.
End of this year. You know, which is obviously going to be... should be a very striking new building from all I see in the leaflets, and it's certainly its positioning in town is remarkable.
It's going to be on the south bank near
City Hall, City Hall next door. Yeah.
But I think to your question, you know, it catches a nerve in me, the question that you ask. And one of the things, you know, at the moment, because a Company of Angels is only just in receipt of some revenue funding to be able to go out and actually work at developing ourselves and talking. I think it's also up to us, when we know we have something that is seriously interesting for a wider audience, and to go out and to lobby theatres more. And I take it as part of our responsibility to lobby for our field and make sure it is seen more. It's certainly true. I mean, what you've said about the three theatres that are there at the National, just for example, not playing more for a young people's audience. Yeah, I mean, it's true. And it is, as I would say, there is not yet a sufficiently engaged philosophy, I feel, from the Arts Council and from the National Theatre on what is the approach to young people's work. It tends to get hived off into different fields, but there is not as clear a philosophy as you've found in other fields.
Perhaps, to be fair, we should mention National Theatre Connections, which is all about new writing for young people, but for young people to play.
Yeah.
And they do have a festival at the National Theatre every summer where young people take the two of the main stages at the National Theatre.
I mean, that is a sensational festival. It has produced more new work than any other initiative, yes, you know, in the last dozen years. And it is just remarkable how it's been successful in getting so many leading playwrights to create new work for young people.
Asking to do it, because it's success breeds success, obviously.
But if you look at that remarkable repertoire that's come up, you won't find that those plays have done a lot overseas, but they have not been, or very rarely been picked up and been done in British theatre, which is quite surprising if you think that every year they produce a book with 10 more remarkable plays in it.
I think they're done by young people, though, and one of the reasons is that a lot of them have very big casts, don't they? Because
they're written that way.
They're written that way in order to involve a lot of people. Not all of them do, no.
Yeah.
But it is one of the freedoms for writers that they don't have to consider cast size when they're writing for National Theatre's Connections. One more question. Yeah.
Hello, my name's Vicky Ireland. I think we have to remember this debate's about children's theatre, and so often the debate gets hived off towards teenagers and adolescents. And my perception of children finishes at puberty, so I'm talking up to, say, 13. And I do think the National Theatre, it's a disgrace that it doesn't actually service children. And I don't understand why the Arts Council can't kind of speak to this. If you read the statement under which the National Theatre was conceived, it is to serve the nation and all ages and all people. And it seems to, we let it off the hook constantly, but it hasn't, as to my knowledge, ever commissioned one new piece of writing for children. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think if it had a head and an attitude that encompassed and felt equally important about theatre for children, it might influence the rest of the nation and other theatre makers and practitioners and reviewers, etc. It might influence the whole situation.
The point is that everybody was perfectly pleased when they said they were going to do Dark Materials. Nothing wrong with that at all. But you cannot call that a commitment to children's theatre. I'm not saying it's a cynical exercise in exploiting something that's, you know, because everybody does that. But you cannot call that children's theatre, because I agree with Vicky. I mean, you can say that, that maybe teenagers are going to be more involved in a thing like that. But again, it's done as a sort of festive thing at the, in the Christmas slot, just as when they did Wind in the Willows, which was a sort of three-hour extravaganza about gay Edwardian men, which was quite delightful. I thought it was absolutely wonderful, but it was not a children's show, really. I think a lot of children probably enjoyed it, particularly children who had been to the theatre before and so on. But I don't think that's quite what we're talking about. That is a different type of of theatre. We're saying that maybe there should be a show in the Cottesloe for five-year-olds, just the same as there might be in a studio theatre at the Lyric Hammersmith or somewhere like that. But there's not.
Well, maybe with the new Unicorn being so close by, maybe they will take a bit more note of the good work. And I know Unicorn are going to programme a lot of new work in their new building. I think I just feel as a parent it would be fantastic to take my children somewhere other than Polka. You know what I mean? That's not going to cost me £37.50, you know, in the West End. You know, so I love it when theatres put on, you know, work for that age group. It's fantastic. It should be
on Dark Materials. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm really about the children, adolescents, but I certainly can say that it has been extremely popular, that show, with teenagers. I mean, it's really had a incredibly good rating with them. It's been very much enjoyed, as have the book. So.
No, I'm very pleased they did it. I really am. But I just wish it would represent more of a commitment to work as a whole, rather than grabbing, cherry picking something and saying we're gonna do that one.
Yeah. I know they have done development workshops on children's books in their studio, because an actor friend of mine told me and gave my kids the book when he finished with it. I don't know if they go anywhere after that, but that they have been doing that. I don't know if anybody knows of anything else they're doing. Oh, Laura, who works at Polka and also at the National Gallery.
Yes, we're really running out of time, so this will be the last question.
Just put in a bit of information, really. I work at both Polka and at the National Theatre, and they are developing another show for families at the moment. I have to say, it is being described as a show for families,
and it's
not
for Christmas,
not
as well,
children.
Isn't it? It's going to.
I think it's around Christmas. I'm not sure it's hitting the actual Christmas period, but
I
don't quote me on that.
Do you know what it is?
I think it's a Michael Moore Pergo, but I don't know the title.
Ooh.
But yes.
Well, that certainly hasn't been announced yet, so there you are, this advanced knowledge. Well, thank you very much. I think we do have to stop now, because we've gone beyond the time we were meant to be here. Thank you very much to the audience, and thank you very much to John, David and Annie. It was very, very interesting. I think we've ended with a challenge to the National Theatre, and otherwise a fairly positive feeling about the way things are going. There's such a lot of energy in this sector, isn't there? So let's hope it continues to do well in future. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.